you need to stretch, need to move around, if you don't like the seat where you are, now's the time to move. If you're at home, I can't help you. You move to the sofa or move to a more comfortable chair. But we're glad that you're here this morning. Amen. And we want to turn to the word of the Lord now as we're continuing our series. Amen. Here we go. I'm still working on this thing. I'm getting better, but you know, it's still taking me just a little bit of time. But I thank you for your patience, and thank you for all the tech people that have helped. We are so grateful. We're so thankful for you. You know, even when we have everything going, everything right, so often something still comes up. But the tech team jumps in. They work on it. They make it work. They solve the problems under a lot of pressure. You know, you may think it's tough to be up here in the front, and this isn't the easiest thing in the world. But you know what's even tougher on Sunday mornings? It's to be on the tech team when something doesn't work quite right. And what do we all do? The whole church turns around to look like, what are those dummies back there? Why isn't that working? And so when we all turn, I'm just being real here, right? Let's just be, right? We all look around and say, what's going on? Imagine the pressure of all the eyes looking backwards. But we're really grateful. Thank you, tech team. Thank you for the translation team as well. God help us as we move forward and as we move along. We've just got a forest right here, don't we? Just a forest. Here we go. Amen. Those of you that are at home saying, what do you mean a forest? You got to come back in person to find out what we mean. Amen. Ready to continue with the word of the Lord this morning? Amen. Praise the Lord. I pray that God has been, as you have been working with him and he's been working with you, I pray that your prayer life has been changing, that the way you are responding to the Lord and the way that you are interacting with him has been changing as we have been going through this wonderful series together, as we've talked about our help, our partner in prayer, the Holy Spirit. Never better. Best partner you'll ever have. Those of you married that say, oh, I love my wife, I love my husband, what a great partner. Holy Spirit's better. Holy Spirit's better. In prayer, we praise the Lord for our God, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Who is here? He's with us. Here's our theme verse again for this morning, for our series. And if you'll notice, I've chosen a slightly different translation. In the same way, the Spirit also comes to help us, weak as we are, for we do not know how we ought to pray. The Spirit himself pleads with God for us. We just don't know how. And today we're going to be changing direction a little bit. And you can tell each week I take some of the preceding week and then add to it, and then we keep moving forward. And so we're going to continue with that. And this week, as we move forward, we're going to finish up from last week as we continue our series looking at famous prayer meetings. Last week we talked about stretch out your hand, Lord. And we looked at what happened when Peter and John were arrested because of the healing of a lame beggar. They and the church are threatened. Stop what you're doing. God will always give us something to do. God always has a plan for our lives. God always has a pathway for us. And in the same way, the enemy also will always, he will try to discourage you. He will try to stop you. He will try to slow you down. He will try to divert you. If he can't discourage you, he'll try to fill your life with all sorts of other things that will distract you as well and get your eyes off of the great things that God has for you and the partnership of the Holy Spirit with you as we walk through this life until we go to heaven or he returns for us. Either one of those things. Amen. Brothers and sisters, those are the two options that we have ahead of us. If some of us go by way of the grave, praise the Lord, we're going to go to heaven. The rest of us, we're waiting for Jesus to come back. But both of us, all of us, either side, we're all going to the same place and we're going to see the same Jesus. Amen. And so until then, the Holy Spirit is walking with us and helping us and equipping us as well. So we looked at this last week. After the threats of the enemy to stop them from what God had called them to do. See, that's what we have to keep in mind. Sometimes we slow down. Sometimes we stop. Sometimes we get discouraged. And we forget that what God has called us to do and who God has called us to be, it's God's calling. It's not man's calling, right? It's not a church. God has called you to be a good husband, to be a good wife, to be a godly woman, to be a godly man, to grow in Christ's likeness, to do the work that God has called you to be a light in the marketplace, in the light, a light in the place where you work. And it may not, there may not be a lot of light where you work, but God has called you to be. Don't let the enemy stop you. And as we have been going through this series, we've been talking about how the Holy Spirit helps us. Remind you again of the prayer. And I'm reminding you of this because I'm going to give you a testimony in just a minute that will encourage you, knock your socks off. And now, O Lord, here's their part of their prayer. Hear their threats and give us, your servants, great or complete power, boldness in preaching your word while you stretch out your hand for healing, signs, and wonders to be performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. This verse should encourage you like anything, because you can ask God to do what you need to do, and then God will do what only he can do. That's the beautiful picture that we see here. And so this is what they pray. We must do what God has called us to do. We cannot do what God will do. He will do that. We do our part. He does his part. When they had prayed, the meeting place shook. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak God's message with boldness. Here's the answer to their prayer. Does the ground always shake? Nope. Doesn't always shake. Does God always hear? Yes. God always hears whether the ground shakes or not. Amen? Be encouraged by that. God always hears. So I want to give you some testimonies, a testimony for that. We're looking all the way back 2,000 years or so ago. But just this week, I was in touch with Pastor Amor and Pastor Lonnie, who are in Daet, that sort of central Philippines for some of us. And the verses that we just read, O Lord, hear their threats, give us your servants boldness, stretch out your hand, and the meeting place shook and all of that. I want to give you a testimony that exactly shows what was going on with them. Here's an example from some of our pastors. So this past week, there was a water baptism. This is the same place where about maybe a couple of months ago, remember I showed you that beautiful picture of the early morning water baptism, the young guy being baptized at 5-something in the morning. There was one because he was going to be leaving and going back to Manila. Same place again. And it's with Pastor Amor and Pastor Lonnie. For a long time, Lonnie was Pastor Amor's helper. She was an assist. She didn't speak. She didn't do this. She didn't do that. But God was really dealing with her heart. And as God dealt stronger and stronger with her heart, she began to see, I have to obey. I need to obey. Those of you that know Lonnie, when she was here in Hong Kong, very quiet person. Amor is quiet as well, but Lonnie was really quiet, very reserved, always kind of sat back. When the time came and when we were praying, when Mom was here for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Lonnie was so scared. She was 50 feet away from it. She's like, oh! But she opened her heart and the Lord did his work. Amen. And over the years, God has developed Lonnie as well. And God will always take us beyond where we are. This is what he wants to do. And so Pastor Moore really wanted to share this slide with me because she said six of those are from Pastor Lonnie's outreach and from Pastor Lonnie's work. And so they were baptized this last week. But we just read those verses from Acts chapter 4. Oh, Lord, help us to preach boldly, and Lord, stretch forth your hand. So we do our part. God does his part. But what I want you to see is this lady that has her hand on her heart as she's giving her testimony just before she's baptized. I think she is this lady. I was comparing T-shirts. I think she's this lady. And she gave her testimony just before she was baptized. And Pastor Amor said, we really thank the Lord for this woman. This is part of Lonnie's group now, Pastor Lonnie's group. She said, because she used to be demon-possessed, and Jesus set her free, and now she's being baptized. Hallelujah. Amen, right? There should be a bigger amen than that. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. She's faithful in church. She's faithful in Bible study. You see, brothers and sisters, if we will do what God has called us to do, God will do what only He can do. He's in the business of setting people free. This morning, we're going to be looking at Peter in prison. You know that's coming. I've been talking about it. We're going to look at Peter in prison. Herod imprisons him, and we already know the end of that story, right? An angel gets him out. But praise the Lord, as we see this, there are far worse prisons than behind iron bars. And some of us also have been prisoners and in bondage to alcohol, to drugs, to demonic powers. In this church, to besetting sins. And Jesus, who came and said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to do what? To set captives free. To set captives free." And here is a wonderful example just this week of exactly that. Jesus is still doing the same thing today as his Spirit works through us in power and in anointing. Praise the Lord. Here's some more pictures for you. What is going on here? Take a look. Are they having an outing in the deep jungle? I did not know there were jungles like this or forests like this. I don't know. I'd call it a jungle around Diet. Kind of amazing, right? What's going on? Are the youth having an outing? Nope. They're not having an outing. Do you know what they're doing? They have a month-long break. And they are doing what we just read. "And now, O Lord, give us your servants great boldness in preaching your word." The youth are taking their month off, and they're doing evangelism. They're going door to door in evangelism. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God does not care what age we are. He does not. And parents, if your youth were in the youth meetings this week, lift them up. The enemy may attack, the enemy may oppose, but God did something in their hearts and in their lives this week. And you pray for them even more. You encourage them even more because God wants to work through them. God wants to do something in them. There's another picture. There's another picture. Praise the Lord. Just this week, young people, kind of puts us to shame a little bit, doesn't it? But I hope what it does is encourage us. And I've ended with this picture. There were more than that. Amor was just overflowing and bubbling. And I already told her last night, I said, "You tell these two young guys," that's Richmond, that's Christian. We haven't met Christian yet, but those of us who were at the youth camp 2 years ago, we've met Richmond before. And I wanted to end with this part because I'm going to tell you just a little bit more about them. And I told Pastor Moore, I said, "You tell those guys we are so proud of them. We are encouraged by them, and I'm going to use them in the message this morning." And I want to tell you a little bit more about them. Do you remember a few weeks ago when I said, please pray for the young man who was in a terrible home situation where there was drug use and addiction in the family? There had been, they were abandoned at some point. This is in more than one family. Horrible things going on. And both of these guys, very, very young. Christian is only about 16. Richmond is just over 20. And both of them, because of the family situation, at age 16, at age 20 plus, were working in the slaughterhouse to support their family and to support their brothers and sisters, younger brothers and sisters, in terrible situations. There was abuse in the family, all sorts of things going on, really horrible things. And yet both of these young men have turned to the Lord and have been faithful with the Lord, working in the slaughterhouse. Imagine from midnight till the morning at age 16. To feed your younger brother, to feed your younger sister. And yet both of these young men said, "We're going to serve the Lord. We're going to follow the Lord." So here we see a very practical example of what we just read in Acts chapter 4. God has a plan for their lives. God has a calling for their lives. And the enemy opposes, and the enemy tries to stop. Richmond's testimony was, this is the one in the red, Richmond's testimony, who has gone through perhaps maybe the worst. Richmond's testimony was, I wrote it down, he said, "No matter what, I will not give up." Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for that. And they're involved in ministry. They're involved in evangelism. Christian is in the music ministry. Richmond, Amore said, is in every ministry in the church just about. He's teaching Bible to the young boys. He's preaching in the prison because Amore goes and works in the prison. And he's doing other things as well. And God is using them in a wonderful way. So I take from that, as we look at that, no matter what, I will not give up. This morning we keep going. Our partner in prayer, don't stop now. Don't stop now. And so with that testimony as an encouragement, let's keep going in the word of the Lord this morning. God was stretching out his hand as his people prayed. And our partner in prayer will help us and encourage us to persist in prayer. Don't stop now. Amen? Some of you are getting a little bit tired because you've been praying and the answer hasn't come. Why should you keep on praying when the answer hasn't yet come? Why should you keep on praying when there's no change in the circumstances that you see? Because the answer is on the way. The answer is on the way. I remind you of this verse, a final word. And how can you keep on? Be strengthened by the Lord and by his vast strength. His vast strength. I love this translation. So as we look at this morning, how are we going to keep on? Don't stop now. Don't stop now. The answer is on the way. And to look at this morning, we're going to go to another Bible, another prayer meeting. Ready? It's in Acts chapter 12. This is some years after the one that we just read. About that time, let's look at it. You know this one already. King Herod cruelly attacked some who belonged to the church. And he killed James, John's brother, with the sword. I was reading about this yesterday. And apparently, killing with the sword was considered a more merciful way of putting people to death. Hard to believe. It was more merciful than crucifixion. And what they used to do, what they did before, was they would take an axe and cut people's heads off. So you can imagine. But this was considered more merciful. Instead, they now used a sword. It was faster. So that's what they did with James. So James, which James is this? This is the brother of John, right? So this is the brother of John. Herod takes him. He kills him. When he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter too during Passover. So I want to encourage you this morning, those of you that feel like you're really facing something hard. Do you feel like you're really facing something hard? Take a look at this. Herod is putting people to death by the sword, and the Jews are happy. What makes you happy? The beheading of Christians? Of course not. But this is what they were facing. So, let's see what happens next. We know this already, but we'll just read it really quickly. After the arrest, he put him in prison, and he assigned four squads of four soldiers each to guard him, intending to bring him out to the people after the Passover. So Peter was kept in prison, but prayer was being made earnestly to God for him by the church. Or let's put it another way. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was praying. We're going to see this at the beginning of this story, and you're going to see something like this at the end of this story as well. So Acts chapter 12, here's the beginning. So this terrible circumstance, this terrible thing is going on, but the church was praying. So hang on to that. Grab that for yourself. What horrible circumstance do you have in your life? What terrible thing is going on in your life? What mountain is in front of you too high to overcome? What obstacle is too great that you think, I've tried and I've tried and I've tried and I just can't? There's that. But the church was praying. And here's the key for us. So this verse says, but prayer was being made earnestly to God for him by the church. That's the translation. But you can just say, but the church was earnestly praying. So I want us to see this morning, look at it. Here's this terrible thing around them. What does the church do? The church sends prayers up. The church looks upward, not at the horrible circumstance, not at the difficulty, but God, here is this thing on earth that is going on. Now, what's God going to do? When prayers go up, God's power comes down. That happens every single time. This is how God works. When our prayers go up, when our fervent prayers go up, when our persistent prayers go up, when our sincere prayers go up to God, God's power comes down and he stretches forth his hand. This is what we're going to see. And we already know this story because this is one that's so familiar to us. So I want us to think about that. It's a tough situation, but we can be encouraged. Where is Peter? He's behind bars. He's behind bars. There's no way they can open the bars. Impossible situation, but nothing is impossible for God. Impossible situation, but the Holy Spirit can go anywhere. No borders, no block. I've told you this before. Where in the world is the church, just as a reminder, where is the church growing faster than any other country? Which country right now? The country of Iran. This deeply, deeply anti-Christian country. The church is growing faster. How can that be? How is that possible? Because the Holy Spirit is at work. And the Holy Spirit is working any way he wants to work. And so this is what we see. Now, what is their prayer like? What is their prayer like? Let me remind you, okay? Verse 5 again. But prayer was being made earnestly to God for him by the church. What does this word earnestly mean? The word means fervently, or it also means persistently. In other words, they were praying and they weren't stopping. So here's the encouragement for us. That's where the title, don't stop now, okay? So there it is. So this is how they are praying. What is fueling their persistence? Well, what's fueling their persistence is James had been put in prison and he had been... And now Peter's in prison. These are two of the leaders of the church. And so, buddy, they're praying and they're doing it persistently. They're doing it fervently. They're not going to let up. And they start praying. They start praying. So here we go. Back to Peter. The night before Peter was to be placed on trial, he was asleep, fastened with two chains between two soldiers. So it was four at a time, right? Every 4 hours. So they had to be alert, right? So, or every 6 hours. There we go. I'm not your pastor for my math skills. Aren't you glad? So two on either side in chains, two others standing at the prison gate outside. What would we call this today? Maximum security, right? Maximum security or death row. So question, is Peter so very dangerous that he has to have so many guards and he's put in the prison? I mean, really, is he really that dangerous? Or is it possible that they remembered sometime earlier on another occasion when Peter was with the other apostles and he had been arrested and thrown in the public jail? And in the night, an angel came and opened the door and said, go out and go to the temple and preach the gospel. Give them all the words of life. And so that's what they did. I think that's the reason that Herod says, they put them in the public prison, in the public jail. Not I. I'm putting them in maximum security. Peter's not going to get away from me. Peter's not going to escape judgment. Peter's not going to escape trial. I'm going to take care of this. You should be so encouraged right now if you are facing an impossible situation. It would be hard to get a more impossible situation than Peter's, right? What chance is there? What hope is there? And so we go back to this. So Acts 12 in the story. So suddenly Peter is in the cell. He's sleeping. A bright light in the cell. How many of you are light sleepers? Really light sleepers? We're not going to need to sleep in heaven, but I tell you what, that would be such a wonderful gift. How many of you just, boom, at the drop of a hat, you're asleep. You crawl into bed, and 3 minutes later, you're gone. You know, the other pastor, he had the gift of sleep. He really did. And every once in a while, he would come in, and he would just fuss. Melrose and I both remember this. Remember that one time he came in, he said, oh, I was so hard last night. It took me, after 10 minutes, I was still awake. I wanted to stab him with a knife. If I could fall asleep after 10 minutes, I would be, oh, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. Peter must have had the gift of sleep because he's going to die the next day, right? It's already sure his head is coming off with a sword and he is sound asleep. And the bright light in the cell doesn't even wake him up. I wouldn't even have to have a bright light. All I'd have to hear is a little creak or something like that, and I'd be wide awake. A bright light shines. He's still asleep. What does the angel have to do? The angel has to hit him. That's what the angel would have to do for some of you. And so he says, quick, get up. The chains fell off. The angel tells him, get dressed, put on your sandals. And he did. Now put on your coat and follow me. So Peter left the cell, but all the time he thought it was a vision. He thought it was a nice dream, right? This is a really nice dream. I'm going to have my head off tomorrow, but this is a nice dream before then. He didn't realize it was actually happening. They passed the first and the second gate guard posts and came to the iron gate leading to the city, and this opened for them all by itself. So they passed through and started walking down the street, and then the angel suddenly left him. I want to say something to you, brothers and sisters. We look at this and we say, well, that's great, but that was 2,000 years ago, and that was Peter. Do you know that things like this still happen today? They happen today. Mom and Dad were teaching with a group of pastors in a restricted country, and one of the pastors had actually just been out of prison a short time earlier, and almost exactly the same thing had happened to him. A miracle of miracles, truly a miracle. God is still the same God, and he's still doing these things today. Amen, amen. If you want to read about that, we have that book in our library upstairs, the church library. It's called The Heavenly Man. It's a wonderful, wonderful book, a modern-day book of Acts. Amen. The Heavenly Man. So Peter finally came to himself. It's really true, he said. The Lord has sent his angel and saved me from Herod, from all the Jewish leaders were expecting. When he realized this, he went to the home of Mary, the mother of John Mark, where many were gathered for prayer. How do you think he knew to go there? Do you think he sent a text message and said, hey, where's the prayer meeting? Because he knew they'd be praying. Of course not. Of course not. This is where the church gathered. And Peter knew the church would be praying. He knew that they would not be in their own homes in discouragement and in doubt. He knew that they would be praying. And so that's where he goes. Can the same be said of us when we face hard times? We know somebody's praying. We know people are gathered. So he knocks. What does he do? He knocked at the door of the gate, and a servant girl named Rhoda came to open it. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed. Instead of opening the door, she ran back inside and told everyone, Peter is standing at the door. Now, we know this story already. I used to be really hard on these people, you know. I used to really mock their faith. You've heard me preach that before, but I've come to a different thinking about it. I think they were praying, and I think they were thinking, tomorrow in the trial, Herod is not going to put him to death after all. He's going to be released. I think that's maybe what they were thinking. They weren't thinking that God was going to do something as miraculous as an angel in the middle of the night. Praise the Lord. So here's my question for us this morning, because we're talking about don't stop now, right? How long did the church pray? How long did they keep going? When did they stop praying for this impossible situation? They stopped when Peter knocked on the door. So I want to ask you something this morning, brothers and sisters. What situation in your life, in your family, in your health, in your desire for God, that you have been praying for and you've grown tired of praying because the answer hasn't come? You have told yourself, well, the answer hasn't come, and so I'm just going to wait on God, and whenever God wants to, then he will answer this. Take a lesson from the early church. When did they stop praying? When the answer showed up at the gate. Peter in the flesh. Peter in the flesh. I want to encourage you this morning, brothers and sisters. If you have been praying for something, don't stop now. Don't stop just because you haven't seen the answer. You keep on praying because the answer is on the way. The answer is on the way. How long do we pray? We pray until the answer comes. Some people look at this and they think it's a little bit like a kid in a grocery store with a mom. I'm so sorry to use this example, but this is the one I've seen so many times. I'm American, so I'm in these stores that are really, really big, like a Walmart. Those of you that have ever been in a Walmart before, they're huge stores, and when you get to the checkout, there are these long lines at the checkout, and on both sides of the checkout counters, maybe there are 10, maybe there, Keith knows, maybe there are 20 checkout lines. And on both sides, from bottom to top, there are all of these candy, racks of candies. There's this. There's all these little toys. There's all this gum. There's all of these things that's so appealing to a child. And if a child has gone with mom to the grocery store, do you know what happens when they hit that? Mommy, mommy, can I have it? Can I have it? Mommy, can I have it? And because it's close, do you know what the child has already done? The child already has it in hand, right? Let's say this is the, I should have brought a candy bar. That would have been better. But let's just say this is a candy bar or the toy. Can I have it? Can I have it? Can I have it? No, we're going to go home and eat dinner. Can I have it? Can I have it? I said no. But I want it. Can I have it? No. Stop asking. But I want it. Please stop. Please. And what do most parents do? I'm so sorry. You know what most parents do. What do they do? Okay. And they tear into it. Some of us think that's how it is when we talk with God, right? We really do. We think if I bother God long enough, God, he'll change his mind about that thing. But brothers and sisters, God's not like that at all. God's not like that at all. Instead, God is saying, I want to do good. I have an answer for this situation. When we pray persistently, we don't change God's mind. We pray and God's power changes the situation. We pray and God's power changes the circumstances. It doesn't change God's mind. God's mind towards us, God's heart towards us, God's will towards us. It's always good. It's always good. And you're not nagging God to get him to change his mind. That's not it. So change the way you're thinking if that's what you think it's like. Instead, you are praying until the time comes and there's a tipping point and there's a change, because it's a spiritual battle, isn't it? It's a spiritual battle. And so you keep on praying and the answer is on the way. Amen. Amen. This is what persistent prayer is. This is what persistent prayer is. And if we go to the end of this story, I'm going to skip through. At the end of this story, Herod has a disagreement with some people. I just want to show it to you very quickly, because this is the end of this story. It's the end of chapter 12. Herod is still there. Here's Herod, who was all-powerful, right? Here's Herod, who put Peter in prison on a whim, just like that. Imagine having that power. I'm going to cut your head off, just like that. And he does it. Such power. And so he has a disagreement with some people, and so they send a delegation, and then just looking through it quickly, so they say, oh, we want to meet with Herod on a special day, and the people are trying to flattering him. That's right. They're flattering him. And when he starts to speak, they say, oh, it's the voice of a god. And what happens? Instantly, an angel of the Lord struck Herod with a sickness because he accepted the people's worship instead of giving the glory to God. So he was consumed with worms and died. The man who was all powerful. By the way, you say, too fantastic to believe. This is recorded in Roman history. Did you know that? It's recorded in Roman history. After 5 days of sickness, Herod died at the age of 54, and it's recorded a painful death, an inglorious death. Now, the point is not, oh, judgment. The point is God can take care of the opposition. God can take care of the opposition. You just look to God. And I want you to see that because it tells us how this started. So he was consumed with worms and died. Here's the situation. But the word of God continued to spread. And there were many new believers. There were many new believers. I'm going to skip this other part we're going to get to next week, but I want to end. I know it's a little bit later, but I want to end with another testimony this morning. Why we persist in prayer. All the things that you're praying for. And we've got a video for you. As I was praying and preparing, this testimony came back to mind. I heard it many years ago, and I thought, I don't even know if I can find it. I looked and looked, and actually, and I found it. And at first, I was just going to retell the testimony, but I want to just show the testimony. This is why we persist in prayer. You heard the testimony at the beginning. Here's another testimony for us. And just to encourage us, we've looked at the word of the Lord, and here's a testimony of persistent prayer that you'll be encouraged by as we come to a close this morning. Since it's about 4 minutes long, Francia, would you turn off that light? Be encouraged. Amen.
I'm the answer to your prayers. You've been praying every year. You gather at this time and you pray for living water. He who believes in me, if you're thirsty, come to me and drink. He says, I'm the water. Okay? And then he makes this statement. The one who believes in me, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. And it says, this he spoke of the Spirit. Now remember, you shall receive power when the Spirit comes on you. And what is the Holy Spirit going to do? The prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth. It moved from heaven to earth, and there were noises, thunderings, lightnings, and earthquake. In other words, it affected earth when it got here. Okay, listen. Here's what it's saying here. There are these bowls. And when these bowls get full and that incense goes up to the throne of God, there is an angel that his job is to add the fire from the altar, God's fire, to our prayers and throw them back down to the earth. This is the same fire that fell on Mount Carmel. This is the same fire that stood before Israel and the people of Egypt when they came out of Egypt. This is the same fire that fell on the day of Pentecost. It's the fire and the power of God. So I have a very, very simple question for you. How full are your bowls? You have a bowl that's for your family and a bowl that's for your marriage and a bowl that's for your work and a bowl that's for your health and all these bowls in heaven. How much prayer? How much time have you spent in prayer praying over this area of your life? I mean, think about it. If you were able to see the bowls in heaven that you've been praying for your kids or for your job or for your business or for your family, if you could see, how full would that bowl be? Is it possible these bowls in heaven are on like a fulcrum and when it gets full, it spills over? Like you've seen these water fountains, and they have this, the water going down, and it falls into a bowl, and when that one fills up, it tips and goes into another bowl, and that one fills up, it tips. And you ever seen something like that? I wonder how full are your bowls. Because when they get full, there's an angel assigned to add God's fire to your prayers and throw them back to the earth. And it'll change what's happening on earth. I told you a few weeks ago about George Mueller praying 63 years for his friend. I told you last weekend about a woman that prayed 42 years for her husband. Some of you heard the story about how my grandfather came to the Lord. Some of you haven't. But there was a man that prayed for my grandfather for 40 years. There was a time in my grandfather's life when he worked for the Texas Department of Transportation. His job was to put asphalt in potholes. That was his job. And for a season, he worked with a man named Ray Alexander. And Ray Alexander was a Christian, and he shared Christ with my grandfather, who did not know anything about the Lord. And one night, one day, my grandfather said, "I'd like to hear more about this." And so Ray said to him, "Well, why don't you come over to my house after dinner, and I'll share with you some more and show you some verses in the Bible." So my grandfather said, "Okay." So that night after dinner, he got ready to go, and my father had just turned 16 and just gotten his driver's license. So he said to my grandfather, when my grandfather started to go, he said, "Hey, where are you going?" He said, "I'm going to talk to a man at work about some things." And my father said, "Can I drive you?" He just wanted to drive. So my grandfather said, "Yes, but you have to stay outside while we talk." So he drove him over there, and my grandfather went in, and my father went and sat on the steps of the front porch. And back in those days, no air conditioning, so the door was open, but the screen door was closed. And for the first time ever, at 16 years of age, my father heard the gospel. Had never heard that Jesus was the Son of God and that died for his sins. Never heard it. And the man, Ray Alexander, said to my grandfather, "Would you like to accept Jesus as your Savior?" And my grandfather said, "No. I'd like to think about it for a while." And then Ray said, "Well, if you ever decide to give your life to Jesus, you need to pray a prayer like this." And he told him the sinner's prayer. And as he told my grandfather, my father, sitting on the steps, prayed the prayer and gave his life to the Lord. My father was the oldest of three brothers. One of he had two brothers, all right? The oldest of two brothers, I should say, oldest of three sons. Three boys in the families all, no girls. One of the brothers committed suicide. The other brother died a few months after getting out of prison. My father was the only believer in his family. 16 years of age, went to college, the only one to go to college. Started a company. God blessed him. Became a huge giver to the kingdom of God. Raised me in a Christian home. I accepted the Lord. I went into ministry. Many, many people have accepted the Lord now. Because a man that put asphalt in potholes shared with another man, and he thought, as far as he knew, he said no. A few years after I came to know the Lord, I got concerned about my grandfather. So I started praying. We had a family reunion coming up, and I started praying I'd get to talk to him about the Lord. And so at that family reunion, God orchestrated a time for us to be alone in a room, and I started sharing the Lord with my grandfather. And my grandfather told me, he said, "A man told me this 40 years ago, and I've always regretted that I didn't give my life to the Lord." And I said, "You can give your life to the Lord today." And I led my grandfather to the Lord. He was 78 years old. He lived until he was 82 years old, and we saw a change in his life. After he passed away, I thought to myself, I wonder if the guy, Ray Alexander, that witnessed to him is still alive. And I just felt like I needed to call him. So I called directory assistance. This is before we had the internet. That's how we used to have to get phone numbers. We had to call and ask people. And I got his number, and I called him, and he answered the phone. He was 81 years old. And I said to him, "Do you remember Joe Morris?" And he said, "Yes, I still pray for him to this day." And I said, "Well, I'm his grandson. Did you know that my father accepted Christ that day on the steps?" He said, "I didn't know that." And he started to cry. I told him, "I'm a minister, and many people have come to know the Lord now but it's all because you shared the gospel. I said, you said you still prayed for my grandfather to this day. Well, why do you still pray for him? Listen to this. He said, in the back of my Bible, I have all of the names of the men that I've shared Christ with. And I pray for every man until he accepts Christ. And when he accepts Christ, I put a check beside his name. And your grandfather was the only name in the back of my Bible that didn't have a check beside it. And when I get off the phone, I'm going to put a check beside your grandfather's name. Prayer works. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes.
Amen.
What's the Holy Spirit saying to you?
Okay.
What do you need to pray about right now?
Encouraging? Isn't that encouraging? What are you praying for? Sorry, it took a little time to get to it. What are you praying for? What have you grown discouraged praying for? The answer is on the way. The answer is on the way. It may take some time. It may take more prayer, because prayer is warfare many times. Don't stop praying. Don't stop praying, because prayer works. And persistent prayer brings the answer that God has. Our prayers, our persistent prayers, rise to God, and God's power works in our situations. So let's close in prayer this morning. And I invite you to take whatever it is. It may be a person, it may be a situation. Whatever is on your heart that you have grown discouraged praying about and praying for, and it may be a person, I tell you, it is in my heart so strongly. God wants to bring salvation to these people for whom you have been praying a long time. He wants to bring salvation. If he could deliver a demon-possessed woman in Diet, if he could open the doors of a prison, maximum security for Peter, surely, surely he can set free those that are in bondage. And every other situation, too, that you have on your heart that you're praying for, would you with me right now just come back and recommit to the Lord? God, this thing that I'm praying about, it may be even something in yourself. God, this person for whom I'm praying, I grew tired. I've kind of stopped, but I'm going to start again. And I am going to pray earnestly until the answer comes. Help us not to give up. Holy Spirit, our partner in prayer, strengthen us with the vast power that is ours in the Lord. Help us to hold hands with you in prayer as you help us, and infuse us with strength and hope that we will persevere. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Romans 12:12. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in affliction. Be persistent in prayer. Hallelujah. Lord, in Lighthouse, may this be a year of breakthrough where we see answers to prayer, where we see loved ones that we have been pleading for. But Lord, we renew our pleading. We renew our focus. Save them, we pray. We are not willing. Lord, we agree with you. You are not willing that any should perish. Well, Lord, we're not willing that any should perish either. And we redouble our efforts, not in our own strength, but, oh, Holy Spirit, in partnership with you. I want to ask you right now what's on my heart. There are many situations, but so strongly, there are people. There are people that you're praying for. And I invite you right now just to say their name out loud. The person that you're praying for, the people that you're praying for. It may be a family member. It may be a friend. It may be a workmate. Just call out their name right now to the Lord. Call out their name. And you may need to write their names down somewhere if you haven't, to help you persevere in prayer. Lord, we call their names before you. God, bring salvation. Lord, may Lighthouse be known as a church that perseveres in prayer, just as that church in Jerusalem that kept on praying until Peter was knocking on the door. Lord, help us to keep on praying for whatever the situation is, for whoever the person is, for whatever the need is, for whatever our hunger is, until the answer is knocking on the door. We look to you. We make this commitment. We come before you today. Help us, Lord, in these days of fasting and prayer this week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, help us, oh Lord, to really begin putting feet to our prayers. Help us to begin putting perseverance and zeal to our prayers in these days. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, oh Lord, that you hear us, that you hear us. And Lord, we're partnering with you. Holy Spirit, we're not going to stop now. Lord, if Richmond and Christian in Diet can make it and can persevere, we can too. We can too, and we're going to because of you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Amen.